So February isn't exactly a month for movies. With it being the first quarter of the fiscal year immediately following the holiday season, the quarter tends to be a burial ground for studio ideas that failed to appease audiences. That is until Black Panther stormed into theaters this past February, and with it, the conversation of Afrofuturism. As we'll discuss in today's podcast, the literary genre of Afrofuturism has led to a renaissance of African literature and art, leading us to break down the concept of Afrofuturism, how it's applying in popular culture, and examine its implications. Joining us today will be Mason graduate student Xavier Clark. He'll be helping us explore the social significance of Black Panther and what his thoughts on the movie were. We're super excited to have him on board, and welcome to Group 8's podcast. To start us off, we're going to have Kelsey and Taylor break down what Afrofuturism is. Kelsey?
Yeah, Eddie, what exactly is Afrofuturism? Well, luckily, we were able to come across an academic article on JSTOR, which kind of took the approach of the academic and more difficult definition. So in an article titled, quote, Further Considerations on Afrofuturism, unquote, they defined it as, quote, a program for the recovering the histories of counter-futures created in a century hostile to Afro-diasporic projection, and as a space within which the critical work of manufacturing tools capable of intervention within the current political dispensation may be undertaken. So, end quote. Taylor, that seems like a bit of a difficult, lengthy definition, so do you mind breaking it down for us a little bit more?
Okay, Kelsey, in a simpler definition, Afrofuturism is the use of arts, science, and other forms of technology to broadcast the history of African Americans and also to show a sense of pride in Black culture. Recently, we were introduced to a movie called Black Panther. This movie follows the story of T'Challa, a Wakandan king recovering from the death of his father, T'Chaka. Through his journey, he uncovers the civilization of Wakanda and attempts to fend off a distant cousin attempting to reclaim the throne. He fights off enemies and unleashes the powerful Black Panther to save his people.
Wow, that really was an incredible movie. It incorporated the idea of Afrofuturism and brought the Black community together to celebrate their culture in a way that we don't often see. Next, let's discuss media examples and how Afrofuturism was seen in the media.
Afrofuturism has roots in all forms of media, from music and movies to classic literature. More recently, it has seen a resurgence in social media via the Black Panther movie. A few other important examples are The Invisible Man by Ralph Ellison, which discusses how the African-American narrator has to emerge from hiding to honor his and others' individual complexity. Another literary example is Toni Morrison's Beloved, which follows the tale of a former slave breaking free of her past restraints and learning to live again. Examples in music are Janelle Monáe's Many Moons music video that represents African Americans in a futuristic setting, and Jay-Z's Family Feud, which envisions a world led by women of color. It features Blue Ivy Carter, Jay-Z's daughter, guiding a group of women rewriting the Constitution, the latter aiding in the recent resurgence of Afrofuturism as it was released in December 2017. Another example can be linked to Erykah Badu, Rihanna, Missy Elliott, Solange Knowles, and Beyoncé's Lemonade music video, with its phalanx of women in ethereal white dresses that simultaneously conjure ancient and space-age societies, as stated by Sonia Rao in her New York Times article, The Resurgence of Afrofuturism Goes Beyond Black Panther, to Janelle Monáe, Jay-Z, and more. All of these examples share the common theme of Afrofuturism and have seen the height of pop culture and been taught in schools.
Hi, everyone. My name is Xavier Clark. I'm a Master's of Public Administration student in the Schar School of Policy and Government at George Mason University. I'm in my second year and will be graduating in May. Thank y'all for having me. I am excited to talk about Afrofuturism and Black Panther with you all. So I think I just want to expand on the definition of Afrofuturism a bit more. Yes, it's the arts and sciences and histories of African-American people and Black diasporic persons. However, I think it, in some speculations and construction of the term, it means something more. Afrofuturism is a technique and a social choice used by Black persons to see a world in which we are the harbingers of not pain and not oppression, but of innovation and creating new discourses and new ways of thinking. So with that unpacking, I think I want to delve right into the conversation of Black Panther. I watched Black Panther the night it came out, and I can say it was a transformative experience. I've seen the film twice, and the film did some things that I think are necessary in constructing a world where people of color, namely African Americans, are not seen as just persons who always carry hurt, but have ideas, perspectives, and nuanced experiences that can usher in a world of possibility. I think this was very much shown through two characters in the film. T'Challa, obviously. King T'Challa made sure that there was always a world in which those of Wakanda were protected, and the things that them as Black persons created through vibranium was protected, innovated through, and was not just seen as something of just power, but seen as something of innovation. And I want to tie that more so to his little sister, Princess Shuri. Shuri was a dream to watch because she was the embodiment of how I think an Afrofuturism politic looks. From the times where she said, oh, don't sneak up on me, colonizer, to explaining when the agent didn't understand how the sonic panels helped the trains move in her laboratory. She broke it down elegantly to explain that just because a white individual had not seen something be real did not mean it was not real. I think a lot of times when we think of innovation and we think of new ways of thinking, we always put whiteness at the forefront. It's never truly seen as people of color are those whom can be in that conversation as well. And Shuri, from creating the vibranium suit that was based out of a necklace to creating the intricate levels of how to slow down vibranium so it could be moved through the trains, and creating a holographic car wherein which she could drive even without being in the space T'Challa and Okoye were, was amazing. And I think necessary. Afrofuturism has to begin to be seen as something necessary and something that people are stepping into. I think at the end of the movie, when they opened the Wakanda STEM Center in Oakland, it's powerful because it's something people are already starting to do in the real world. From there's been many people who have tried to make STEM and African-American communities be seen as something that is necessary. We, our youth, ourselves as scholars, ourselves as community builders, have to start seeing that. That it isn't just one type of mind that is necessary, that is powerful, that can change landscapes. And I think Black Panther did a great job in showing that what possibility looks like, how a world would have looked if colonization had not touched parts of Africa, or how a person in a body of persons could think if they would have seen the world through a lens of their own. And it shows that while we have come very far, and if you look at it through Afrofuturistic lens, there is so much more
possibility out there for Black diasporic persons and people in color in general. I think intersectionality is a good step of that, and I think these STEM programs are a good step, but Black Panther opened and ushered in a whole new perspective that could be tapped upon, and I think it needs discussion. So I really do thank y'all for having me, and if y'all have any other questions, just email me, and I look forward to hearing from y'all. Thank you.
Thank you, Xavier. I just wanted to emphasize how important it is for Afrofuturistic media, including arts and STEM, to be in the public eye. Afrofuturism in movies allows for a new variety of characters and heroes that the Black community, especially little kids, can look up to. It also allows for the commodification and visibility of different African cultures that were never really presented in the mainstream media before. One thing that Xavier said was that Black Panther focused more on innovation rather than power. And this is important because, as he explained, and this is a quote, "When we think of innovation and new ways of thinking, we always put whiteness at the forefront." And it's true. Think of all the scientists and innovators you've learned about during your entire academic career. An article in the Los Angeles Review of Books states that Afrofuturism gives form in the present to Black visions for the future. Basically, it isn't just a representation of what could have been, but also what could be. Knowledge and diversity are incredibly important, especially in an industry that is so visible and accessible to both adults and children around the world. With the help of Black Panther and the many other examples we talked about, Afrofuturism is making its way into the mainstream media where it is visible for everyone to see and learn about. I'm going to close off with a final quote from Xavier. "Black Panther shows that while we have come very far and you look at it through Afrofuturistic lens, there is so much more possibility out there for Black diasporic persons and people of color in general, which, by the way, make up 50% of the United States."
And on that note, we'd like to thank our guest, Xavier Clark. Thanks for providing us with your wonderful insight. Obviously, we went over the whole spectrum. We went over what Afrofuturism is, what examples exist in the media, and how it will affect popular culture. Special shout-outs to our presenters, Kelsey, Taylor, Jared, and Lydia. Y'all were insightful. This is your host, signing off.